Welcome to the will of God in the life and the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, divine will, come to reign in me. With this one act, I want to embrace my entire day. I want to embrace every thought, every word, every action, and all the people I meet, the things I have to do, all my duties. I want all to be in your most holy will. I want to put my whole day right from this instant in your most holy will, so that should I be distracted or should there be things I forget, they may all be done in your will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome again to the will of God in the life and the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta. Today we will continue with volume 21. The next passage comes from April 8, 1927, and the title is How All the Figures and Symbols of the Old Testament Symbolize the Children of the Divine Will. How Adam Fell from a High Point to the Bottom. Luisa Picarreta writes, I was following the acts that the Divine Will did in all creation, and I was also searching for the acts it did in the first father, Adam, as well as those it did in all the saints of the Old Testament, especially those in which the supreme volition made its power, its strength, and its vivifying virtue stand out. And my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, the greatest figures of the Old Testament, while being images concealing the future Messiah, enclose also the gifts of the images symbolizing all the gifts that the children of the supreme fiat will possess. Let's stop here for a little bit. Luisa Picarreta finds herself doing the rounds of creation. This is what she is doing when she says that she is searching all the acts of our first parent, Adam, going through creation. She was doing the rounds of creation. From her letters, from her writings, we find that she was doing the rounds of creation. This is something that she will do every day, as well as the hours of the Passion, as well as teaching the children how to do work, lace work. So, Luisa Picarreta, in this passage, she's doing the rounds of creation, and she finds herself going through all these rounds, which start from the beginning of creation till the resurrection. If you are familiar with this work of Luisa Picarreta, you know that these hours of the rounds of creation, they start with creation, the Garden of Eve, and then they end up with the resurrection of our Lord. You go through all the figures in the Old Testament, and this is what she is doing now. In this specific passage, she is doing the rounds of creation, and now she is going through the figures of Old Testament. We will see what our Lord says. Our Lord says that the figures in the Old Testament, they are images concealing within them. They symbolize the future children of the divine will. Let's continue. It says, when he was created, meaning Adam, when Adam was created, the true and perfect image of the children of my kingdom. So Adam was the true and perfect image of the children of the kingdom of the divine will, remembering that he possessed full knowledge, the gift of bilocation, the gift of locution. He was able to hear the voice of God in his soul. He was able to hear the voice of his creator. This is what the church calls locution in his soul. He possessed this gift. Abraham was the symbol of the privileges and heroism of the children of my will, calling Abraham to a promised land in which milk and honey will flow, making him the owner of that land, a land so fruitful to be desired and yearned for by all the nations. Everything was a symbol of what I will do for the children of my will. Jacob was another symbol of them, because from him the 12 tribes of Israel were to descend, and from their midst the future Redeemer was to arise, who was to bind once again the kingdom of the fiat to my children. Joseph was the symbol of the dominion which the children of my will have. And just as he did not let many people die of starvation, as well as his ungrateful brothers, so will the children of my divine fiat have dominion and be the ones who will not let perish the people which will ask for the bread of my will from them. Moses was the image of the power, Samson the symbol of the strength of the children of my will. David symbolized the reigning of them. All the prophets symbolize the grace, the communications, and the intimacies with God, which more than within themselves will dwell in the children of my divine fiat. See, all these were nothing but symbols, images of them. What will happen when the lives of these symbols will arise? After all this came the celestial lady, the sovereign empress, the immaculate, the spotless, my mother. She was not a symbol of an image, but a reality, the true life, the first privilege, daughter of my will. And in the Queen of Heaven I looked at, in the generations of the children of my kingdom, she was the first unmatchable creature who possessed as whole the life of the supreme volition, and therefore she deserved to conceive the eternal word and to mature within her maternal heart the generation of the children of the eternal fiat. Then came my own life, in which the kingdom that these fortunate children were to possess was established. As we see, Luisa Picarreta is doing the rounds of creation, and she arrives at the point of the Old Testament, all these figures of the Old Testament, and our Lord tells Luisa Picarreta how each one of them symbolizes what was to come, how each one of them became figures. They were figures symbolizing the children of the divine will. And we see how through these figures we find that each one of them, they possess something of what Adam possessed in the fullness. Adam was the perfect and true image of the children of my kingdom, the Lord says in this passage. What Abraham, what Jacob, what Joseph, what Moses, what Samson, what David, and all the prophets possess, they possess just a little sparkle of what Adam possessed in the fullness. And our Lord Jesus tells us also that the Blessed Mother, the Celestial Lady, the Sovereign Empress, the Immaculate, the Spotless, my Mother, in the beautiful prayer of the Memorare, we encounter this beautiful prayer that it's almost as what the Lord is saying here, the spotless, the most beautiful, the immaculate, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, to you I come, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer them. Amen. This passage tells us that the Blessed Mother, the spotless, our Mother, she was privileged to be the first daughter of the divine will. Many times our Lord Jesus calls Luisa the little daughter of the divine will. The little daughter of the divine will. But Mary, our mother, is the first daughter of the divine will. Luisa is the little daughter of the divine will. Mary is the first privileged daughter of the divine will and the Queen of Heaven. And through her, our Lord tells that he was able to see all generations. That's why also in this beautiful prayer of the Magnificat, we encounter the prayer of Mary that tells us about this spiritual reality. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His name. Indeed, holy is his name because he has given us this gift to be able to come to know the divine will, to be able to come to know the gift that the Blessed Mother possessed, the gift that our Lord Jesus possessed, the interior life of our Lord and the interior life of our Mother Mary. Indeed, in her all generations are seen. Our Lord comes to establish the kingdom of the divine will for his children. He tells us that he came to establish this kingdom. And this is the prayer that he taught to his disciples. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, all the saints, they are fixed in the will of God. They contemplate forever the presence of our Lord. Eternal happiness, the eternal vision. But through the gift of the divine will, we have the opportunity to begin that life from here, to start living that life, being centered in the divine will with every single act that we do. That's why it's important at the beginning of this program, I pray a morning offering that I often do. This is a short one, but with this prevenient act, with this morning prayer, you express your desire to live in the divine will, that the Lord will reign in every single act, that even if you forget, He will remain there. And it's important that we remember this, that our Lord wants us to have this disposition that we acquire when we are in the state of grace. That's why we need to go to confession and we need to receive Holy Communion to dispose, to avail our souls to receive this divine gift, the gift of living in the divine will, because this is what the prophets long for. The Lord tells us. Let's continue. From all this, you can comprehend how the primary purpose of everything that God did, does, and will do from the beginning of the creation of the world, it is to form the kingdom of His will in the midst of the creatures. This is the purpose, to form the kingdom of His will. When Adam and Eve were living in the state of immaculacy before the fall, the divine will was reigning in them. It was establishing them, and He lost it. Now our Lord wants to reestablish, and He came to establish this kingdom among us. And through the gift of the living in divine will, through the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Pigarreta, through these writings, we come to understand, we come to know that this is the gift that our Lord wants to bestow upon us in our times. These are all our aims. This is our will. And to these children, all of our goods, our qualities, and our likeness will be given. And if I call to you to follow all the acts that my will has done, both in the creation of the universe and in the generations of the creatures, not excluding either those which it did in my mother or those which it did in my own life, it is to centralize all of its acts in you, to give them to you as a gift, to be able to release from you altogether the goods that a divine will can possess in order to form the kingdom of the eternal fiat with decorum, honor, and glory. Therefore, be attentive in following my will. Be attentive in following my will, our Lord tells us and asks us. He wants to centralize all these acts in each one of us, also, my brothers and sisters. That's why it's so important to read these books. That's why it's so important to make some time to do the rounds of creation, to meditate upon these writings. It is very important. I cannot stress enough how important it is for us to read these books, to unite all our acts with the divine will so that not a single act be wasted, so that our Lord be able to centralize all those acts of the past generations, all that He did, all the Blessed Mother did, all that Luisa did in us too. So that when it is centralized in us, we will be able to experience, we will be able to receive what our Lord wants us to have. I was thinking to myself how it is that by withdrawing from the divine will, Adam fell from such a high point, a low level. And Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, I want to just point out that when Luisa Picarreta says, Jesus moving in my interior, many of the times, this is what Luisa experiences. Remembering that she possessed the gift of locution, and this is what the gift of locution is, that you are able to hear the voice of God in your soul. That's why Luisa Picarreta says, moving within my interior, she's able to hear the voice of our Lord Jesus in her soul. This is a gift that she received when she made Holy Communion, her first Holy Communion. Let's continue. And Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, in the natural order, one who falls from a very high point either perishes completely or remains so damaged, so wrecked, in this figure that it is impossible for him to recover his original state of health, of beauty, and of stature. He will remain as a poor cripple, bent over and lame. And if he is a father, from him will come the generations of the cripple, of the blind, of the hunchback, and of all the lame. Let's go back a little bit. At the beginning of this text, our Lord tells Luisa Picaretta that Adam was the true and perfect image of the children of the divine will. Adam was the perfect, the true image of the children of my kingdom, he says, which is the kingdom of the divine will. He possessed complete health. He was not crippled. He possessed complete knowledge. Remembering that he possessed complete knowledge. He possessed the gift of knowledge, complete knowledge. He possessed the gift of locution, and he possessed the gift of bilocation, our Lord tells us in other part of the book of heaven. So Adam was the true image, the perfect image of the children of the divine will, because he possessed this gift. He was living in the divine will, in union with the will of his creator. Now, when he felt, instead of having complete knowledge, his intellect was disfigured, was damaged. Spiritually, he became spiritually blind, spiritually crippled. And since he is the father of all generations, his children inherit this spiritual blindness. We inherit this. Our Lord tells us that in the same way, in the supernatural order, Adam fell from a high point, which was extremely high. He had been placed by his creator at a point so high as to surpass the height of heavens, of the stars, of the sun. By living in the divine will, he dwelt above everything, within God himself. He dwelt within God himself. He was moving, breathing, palpitating in the divine will. He had his whole being moving, his whole existence in God himself. He is existed in God himself. He was palpitating at every moment in the heart of Adam. The will of the Father was palpitating in the heart of our father Adam. He was placed so high above everything. He possessed complete dominion over nature because he was superior to all of creation. Do you see then from what level Adam fell? Given the height from which he fell, it was a miracle that he did not perish completely. But even though he did not perish, the blow he received from with the fall was so violent that it was inevitable for him to remain crippled, wrecked, broken, disfigured of his rare beauty. He remained shattered in all his goods, numb in working, dazed in his intellect. A continuous fever debilitated him and weakened all his virtues. Therefore, he no longer felt the strength to dominate himself, the most beautiful character of man. The dominion of himself had vanished while passions took its place to tyrannize him and to render him restless and sad. And since he was father and head of all generations, from him came the family of the cripple. He possessed all the virtues. He was the perfect image. And as soon as he went away, as soon as he withdrew from the will of his father, he became crippled. And the whole human race became crippled, our Lord tells us. He was disfigured. At all levels, spiritually and physically, he was disfigured. Through this gift of the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, through the gift of living in the divine will, our Lord wants to restore us interiorly. He wants us to possess this gift. And this is, as he says, a miracle. It's a miracle that Adam didn't die because the gift that he lost was so great. This passage reminds me what St. Augustine says in his meditations, in his confessions. When he reflects upon God and upon this restlessness that we experience in our souls, this void that needs to be filled. And many people, they try to fill it with things of the world. But St. Augustine, in reflecting upon this, he says, "Oh God, my heart is restless until it rests in thee. Our hearts will be restless. The only thing that can give true peace to our hearts is God himself. If we feel that void that belongs to God, that void that needs to be filled with the things of God, with God himself, we will experience peace. If we fill that void with these writings, with the sacraments, with the things of God, with the devotions that the church teaches us, with all the holy things that the church gives us, we will experience peace. And especially through this gift of living in the divine will, our Lord wants to restore us. St. Aníbal de France, in one of his letters, he writes the following. In order to form with this new science saints who may surpass those of the past, the new saints must also have all of the virtues and in heroic degree of the ancient saints, of the confessors, of the penitents, of the martyrs, of the virgins, of all the people in the Old Testament, referring to these figures that we saw in this writing that we read, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Samson, David, and all the prophets. We still have to have their virtues. We still have to have the courage, the trust, the strength that all these figures had, the faith that our father Abraham had. We need that faith. We need the courage. We need the strength. We need the wisdom. These are all gifts that the Lord bestows upon us in the sacraments. These are gifts that we receive in the sacraments, in the sacrament of baptism. We receive the gift of faith, hope, and charity. The love of God is being poured into our hearts, and we become the indwelling place of the Blessed Trinity. In confirmation, we receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and we receive the gift of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, piety, courage, fear of the Lord. All these gifts that we receive for our spiritual good, so we will come to know God through these gifts. And through the gift of living in the divine will, my brothers and sisters, we come to embrace everybody. Through this gift, the Lord wants to make us holy. Our Lord says, they think that not doing my will is something trivial, but instead, it is the total ruin of the creature. And as many acts as she does from her own will, so many times does she increase her evils, her ruin, digging the most profound abyss in which to fall. Our acts, apart from the divine will, he says, they only increase all the evils in us. That's why we need to be in the state of grace. We need to be united with our Lord, with his church. We need to be walking the path of the Ten Commandments, which is the school of holiness, the law. And this law that our Lord gives us is not to be a burden for us, but is meant to free us, to make us free, to keep us safe. He gives us, we can say, divine boundaries to keep us safe, to protect us, to guide us, to protect us from our own human will. That is the ruin, that it was the ruin since the beginning when Adam chose to exercise his will apart from the will of his creator. Our human will became our enemy. This is what our Lord tells us. And as many acts as she does from her own will, so many times does she increase her evils, her ruin, digging the most profound abyss in which to fall. Then I was thinking to myself, if by withdrawing only once from the divine will, Adam fell to such a low level and turned his fortune into misery, his happiness into bitterness, what will happen to us who withdraw from his adorable will times upon times? But while I was thinking of this, my beloved and only good added, my daughter, Adam fell so low because he withdrew from a will expressed by his creator, which enclosed the test in order to prove his faithfulness toward one who had given him life and all the goods he possessed. More so, since after the so many goods he had given to himself for free, God asked of him to deprive himself of one fruit alone of the many he had given him, for love of one who had given him everything. This was a test. Our Lord was testing Adam. He wanted to know if he will be faithful, and he asked him to deprive himself of something. And in this little sacrifice, which God wanted from him, he had let him know that it was for nothing else but to be sure of his love and of his faithfulness. So what our Lord is telling us that Adam knew that this was a test. Adam knew that our Lord wanted to test his love and his faithfulness. That's why the fall is so grave, because Adam had knowledge. He had knowledge that our Lord was testing him. Adam should have felt honored that his creator wanted to be certain of his love of his creature. Moreover, the one who attracted him and convinced him to fall was not a being superior to him, but a vile serpent, his major enemy. It was the serpent who was not superior to Adam. This is what our Lord says, make matters worse, that he chose to believe a being that was inferior to him, and he lost. And we, my brothers and sisters, we inherit the consequence of sin. It was not our fault that Adam and Eve didn't remain faithful, but we share in the consequences. That's why we need now the divine remedies, the sacrament of baptism to heal us from original sin, the sacrament of confirmation to give us that strength that we are lacking because of the fault, to give us that knowledge, that wisdom, that understanding, that fear of the Lord, that piety, that courage. All of these are divine vaccines that we need for our spiritual good to be restored to grace. We need the sacrament of confession for the forgiveness of sins. We need the sacrament of anointing of the sick. We need the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus, real, present in the Eucharist. His presence there to nourish us, to fill us with His grace, because we were disfigured. That's why it is so important for us that we have to be in the state of grace. That's why it's so important for us to have the sacraments as our help, as divine remedies, and to dispose our souls through these sacraments, especially through the sacrament of confession and the Eucharist, and then to read these books, to grow in virtue, because as Saint Aníbal de Francio says in the letter I read to you, by the way, this letter comes from May 20, 1924. It's a letter that Father Aníbal de Francio writes. And in this letter, he tells us that we still need all the virtues of all the saints in the past to be able to grow in this divine science, to be able to advance, to be able to surpass the saints of the past. We still need these virtues. Let's continue. His fall brought grave consequences. Because he was the head of all generations, therefore, as though naturally all the members were to feel the effects of the evil of their head. See then, when my will has been expressed, wanted, and commanded, the sin is grave. In other words, the sin is greater, and the consequences are irreparable. And only my divine will itself can make up for such a great evil as that which occurred to Adam. Only the divine will can make up, because only the divine will can embrace past, present, and future. Only the will of God embraces everything, because the will of God is the fount of everything that exists. That's why the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, through his sacrifice, he was able to reconcile all the human race, past, present, and future. On the other hand, when it is not expressed, even though the creature has the duty to pray to me in order to know my will and hear to know my will in her work, whether there is any good in her act and my glory alone, the evil is not so grave. It is easier to find a remedy, and I do this with each creature in order to test their loyalty, and also to secure the love which they say they have for me. Our Lord wants us to be loyal to Him. This is the first commandment. You should love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Many times people come to me and they ask me, well, Father, what about the love of family, the love of friends? Well, God gives us our families, our friends, But the love of God does not oppose to the love of family and friends. The love of God elevates this love that we have for family and friends. It perfects that love. But God has to be first in our lives, always. Because then He will be able to perfect that love that we have for our father, for our mother, for our friends. The love that husband and wife have for each other, for their children. The love of God does not oppose the love of family and friends. This is the first commandment. Who will not want to be sure about a property he has acquired, to the point of writing the deed? Who will not want to be sure about the faithfulness of a friend, or about the true loyalty of a servant? So in order to be sure, I let them know that I want some little sacrifice, which will bring all good and sanctity to them, and they will fulfill the purpose for which they were created. But if they are reluctant, everything will be upset in them, and all evils will come down upon them. Therefore, not doing my will is always evil, more or less evil, according to the knowledge one possesses of it. The people in the Old Testament, they knew that the will of God for them was to follow the Ten Commandments. Now, the Lord says, if you follow my commands, I will bless you. And we see in the Old Testament that when the people of Israel, they walked through the path of the Ten Commandments, through the path of the law, when they kept the law, our Lord blessed them. As soon as they deviate from the law of the Lord, things went south. They were carried into exile. They were destroyed. But we see that when they turn back to the Lord and they follow the path of the Lord, what He asked them to do, the Lord is able to bless them. And this is exactly what our Lord asks us. We still have to follow the Ten Commandments. Our Lord says, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. We all experience challenges in life. We all experience at times challenges that will make things difficult. But to live in the divine will, my brothers and sisters, represents a challenge in our time. To live this spirituality, to embrace this spirituality, is a challenge. Because it requires from us a commitment to do all our acts in the divine will. It requires that we will have that desire to embrace everything, to give to God on behalf of everything. It requires from us to do our morning offering, our prevenient act, to have that disposition to avail ourselves for this gift. And as I mentioned before, the way we avail ourselves to receive this gift is by being in the state of grace, by going to confession, by receiving Holy Communion, by immersing ourselves in the divine will, by reading these writings, by listening to programs like this, in which we try to understand, to go deeper in a simple way about this spirituality. It requires an effort from us. If we make an effort, then the Lord will make up for what is lacking in us. This is what He says. He wants us to have the true desire. He wants us to come to know this gift. He wants us to desire this gift, to love it, and then He will bestow it upon us. I encourage all of you, my brothers and sisters, to unite all your acts in the divine will, not to waste any of them, to do your prevenial offering in the morning, your prevenial act, to do everything in the divine will, to have that interior disposition, to have that spiritual disposition, to be faithful to the Lord in whatever vocation He has given you, to fulfill your duties according to your vocation in life, to keep the Ten Commandments, to love the church, to love all the traditions of the church, the rosary, to love all what the church gives us, to love the Eucharist, to unite yourself with the divine will, and to ask, to beg the Lord to bestow upon you this gift, and He will do it. He promises that He will do it, that He wants us to really desire this gift. He wants to have this gift safe in us. He wants to make sure that this gift will be safe in us. And we already possess some knowledge about this gift. All of you that you are listening to these kind of programs, it's an indication that the Lord wants to bestow upon you this gift, that He wants you to have this gift. So don't waste it. Receive it. Embrace it. Because through this gift, God will be able to receive on behalf of all those who offend Him. On behalf of all those who denied to Him, you will receive and you will make our Heavenly Father, happy. You will create in your souls the dispositions to receive. As we finish our program, let us ask all the saints of the past, all the holy people in the Old Testament, let us ask them to pray for us. Let us ask them to beg the Lord to bestow upon us this great gift of living in the divine will, so that his kingdom may be established on earth, so that his kingdom may come and reign upon earth as it reigns in heaven. Today that we celebrate the feast of Saint Joachim and Saint Anne, parents of the Blessed Mother, let us ask all the people in the Old Testament to pray for us. And let us unite ourselves with every single act that they did, that they performed, so that God our Father may be glorified, so that we may be sanctified, so that the divine will may descend upon earth as it reigns in heaven. Amen. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.